This episode brought to you by Audible!
Yay!
Audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days to read a book to get you started.
Mikey wants to say .com.
That's
so
what
bad.
It is, Mikey.
.com!
But for your book recommendation, Mikey, what do you recommend?
I read recently Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman, and it was
that
really good
out.
And it's about a guy in London, and there's some stuff that happens in this adventure.
Don't spoil the book. Recommend the book.
And at the end, you know,
so if you want that to be your book, go to audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days free and a book to get you started. This episode also brought to you by
Nick B
is the best.
Yep, maybe that's what the B stands for.
Maybe that is what the B stands for. Holy crap, I love that.
Nick B wanted us to plug God Country.
God Country is the movie that they're trying to get made over at Modern Horrors.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it on our show.
Yeah. In fact, Luke and Jacob have both come on the show and talked about it. They're great.
That's right.
Trying to get it funded. Is it Seed and Spark that they're trying to get it funded
Seed
through?
Seed and Spark, yeah. Is where
but if you just Google
right
God Country Film, you'll find it.
Is Seed and Spark a website or a strategy?
Yeah, it's sort of like a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're getting really close to their goal. Too.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are. I think they said they were about 4,000 under.
What?
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get 25,000.
They were.
And if my math is correct, that means they've raised $73,000 already.
Is that math correct, Nick B? Can you help us? Please.
Guys, if you want your very own Patreon shout out, go to patreon.com/horrorvirgin and sign up at the burn it down level like Nick B and get them weekly, or at the you can get it so you can get your monthly Patreon shout outs. And if you stick around to the end of this episode,
you're gonna be
you'll hear
tonight.
Those. Yeah.
Todd, can you bring our theme music in, please?
If you want to go to vomitking.com, free trial/carver version.
If you guys want to go to vomitvirgin.com.
It's our spinoff podcast.
Spinoff podcast.
Oh, gross.
Welcome to the horror version, everyone. I'm Jen. And I apologize for how gross that is. What?
Yeah,
I've said that before.
I am your horror virgin, Todd.
And I am your horror experience, but still classy man, Mikey.
You're the horror man who just keeps hanging around the horror high school like 3 years after you graduated.
Well, the thing about horror movies, Todd, is that they stay the same age and I keep getting older.
You had it backwards. All right. Guys, we watched The Conjuring.
We did.
And I hated it.
It drove Todd insane from fear. We got like 7 videos of you like flipping your phone up in the air.
Yeah, because
did you get
I
a video of him flipping the phone
in the
air? I
didn't know. I missed it.
He flipped his phone in the air like a Scooby-Doo fucking episode.
He really did. Twice in the same scene.
It was scary.
My friends have asked me like if you're faking it, and it's like he's not. It's
he's really not dumb.
Ow, Mikey, friend. Yeah, I'm not fake. I really am uncomfortable. Like, I really hate these movies, especially these types of movies, because they're just 1,000% jump scares. It's horrible. I hate them all.
You have been dreading this movie since you watched the trailer.
I have, and I watched the trailer about a month ago for the Patreon stuff, and we just put it up this week, and man, they loved it, because it's really scary, and I mean, there are parts where I'm looking around the room in the trailer.
I got a text one day at work that said, I just watched the trailer for The Conjuring, I'm not fucking watching that movie, and I was like, Todd's got something to say, and then I realized you texted us in the middle of that trailer video.
Oh yeah, if you watch the end of the video, it's me texting you guys.
Right.
Yeah, I did it on the video.
Yeah.
So if you guys are on the Patreon, you saw that. If not, sign up. You'll miss out on some good stuff.
Yeah.
But let's get into this fucking movie.
Spoilers. It starts with the 60s.
Yep.
This
starts with
the
Annabelle.
Super cool 60s.
Okay. So I wrote this down because it was hilarious. We see the very first thing we see in this movie is just Annabelle's face right by The Conjuring. And Todd went, fuck, I'm out. Seconds after the movie started.
This is like the very beginning of the movie, I said that. Because it's creepy. And her eyes like slit down the middle. And it's like, I'm out.
Spoiler alert. She has her own movie.
She's had two of her own movies, right?
Are you kidding me?
Annabelle 1 and 2, right?
This movie has a lot of spinoffs.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It's a part of its own expanded universe.
Yeah.
It started it. Why do I know more about this than you?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually kind of like this universe better than the DC universe.
The DC universe is god awful, but nice tie-in. The guy who directed this directed Aquaman.
Is that the DC universe?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's also, from what I understand, a horrible movie. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And Patrick Wilson, I think that's his name.
It is.
Is in both of them.
Yeah.
Mikey's fun facts.
Mikey's fun facts. Not quite as good as Jen's fun facts.
That's right.
Mikey's less fun facts.
Mikey's less fun facts. Oh my god. I love it. That's awesome. All right, let's do this. Let's get to this fucking movie.
All right. So yeah, we're interviewing the two ladies who live with Annabelle.
Excuse me.
Oh, pardon me.
There's a man there as well.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's just not allowed to talk.
He honestly, I don't.
Patriarchy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He has zero lines.
He does. Yeah.
That dude 100% went to his mom like, "Mom, you'll never believe it. I've been busting my ass at community theater for 6 years and finally got a part in a major motion picture." And then he got there, said his lines so badly, they just cut every one of them out.
And all it is just him sitting on the couch looking afraid.
It is. Yeah.
I have an alternate theory.
Oh, hit me with it.
Because he's not in any of the flashbacks.
No, he's
maybe
not.
Maybe he's Annabelle.
He's a ghost.
What? He could. Honestly, he could be.
I have heard that he's getting his own spinoff franchise.
but it's in the DC Expanded Universe.
And it's all silent.
It's plain G.
But this scene goes immediately to flashback, right? Because we're talking about who's haunting the girls.
When you meet a creepy doll and then it asks you if you can inherit the body of the doll to live with you, you always, of course, you're going to say, yeah.
They were really nonchalant about that, which drove me insane.
Well, look, they're nursing students, so they care about children, and they contacted the spirit of a dead child named Annabelle Higgins.
Wait. Did they contact it?
Is this in this movie?
Did they use like a Ouija board?
I think somebody might have been talking very loudly and didn't hear this part of the movie.
I will admit that I was talking because I get nervous.
Giving us both dirty
looks. Yeah, this is the pod mom lecturing the two pod children.
That's why you don't know the story. They invited the ghost of this child into Annabelle, but you know, it's never actually a child, it's usually a demon, and that's
and
what
also
it,
it doesn't really possess the doll, right? They sort of explain something like that. It just moves the doll around to make it look like it's possessed.
Yes.
But I don't quite understand this.
The doll becomes
the vessel for it, but it ultimately wants to get into one of the girls.
I will say this, when he was saying that it's never the doll that's actually possessed, it's just the demon trying to get inside one of the girls, it cuts to the guy who has no line, and he's like, "Yeah, me too, dog."
Am I right?
I've been trying to get one of those girls too. Can I get a high five?
All right, so then she's got red crayon and she's scribbling "miss me" all over the walls.
No, they go out to dinner for their nursing stuff.
Well, yeah, and then they come back and she's sitting in the hallway and she's got a red crayon on the.
They find a note that says "miss me" at the front door.
Well, yeah, and then they throw her away and then
she writes "miss me" all over the wall. Then they throw her away after she finds it. Bonking.
Yeah, they thought she'd be a good roommate.
They scare the shit out of Todd. Yeah.
Yeah, like you never do this. Like, if you are, why do people stick around? Why does no one leave immediately?
But where are you going to go?
Anywhere.
For how
long?
Forever.
What are you going to do with all your stuff?
Burn it.
It just drew on the walls. It wasn't like, it didn't even write anything bad.
It's a happy little friendly ghost.
Miss me.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Hello, boys and girls. Did you miss me? Don't throw me in the dumpster.
We were only gone 20 minutes. We got takeout. You drew on all the walls.
We brought you some wonton soup.
You just have to get a crate for the ghost when you leave the house and you just treat
it. Yeah, they really do say for the first year and a half, you really got to crate train your ghost.
It's for their own protection. It makes them feel
and
like
I know
they're back
you
in the,
feel guilty, but they actually start that. Like, that's their little home.
It's like their little dent. Yeah, and then once they're used to it, you can just take the door off it. And then when they feel uncomfortable, they'll go in it on their own.
Yeah. It makes them feel more safe in your house.
So really, this whole movie could have been avoided with some proper crate training
Caesar
of
Milan.
A ghost. Caesar Milan. Yeah, Caesar Milan could have come out and just really helped him out.
Yeah, there are classes.
Caesar Milan goes, get off that girl.
You get like a bottle of water and you just spray the ghost.
It's holy water.
Oh my God.
And you gotta have your little belt pack with the little tiny treats that you give them every time they do get in their crate.
And they're cross-shaped.
All right, so what happens next?
So they're being interviewed by Ed and Lorraine Warren. So this is the first time we see them talking.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about them.
Yeah. The ghost hunter is...
Yeah, they're the scam artists. Yeah.
I got some fun facts about
that. Oh, I bet you do.
Yeah. So they're interviewing these people about Annabelle.
Yeah.
Did you know Annabelle is a real doll?
What?
You can see pictures of her online. She looks like Raggedy Ann. I think she's actually a Raggedy Ann doll. It's super creepy. Google Annabelle.
No.
And she's sitting in.
It's a real story?
Yeah. This is a real story, too. Now, whether you believe the house was actually haunted.
No, it's like Amityville. It's like a proven fraud, right?
Well, I don't know.
Amityville
about
is
story.
A proven fraud.
I got a book about that called The Night the DeFeos Died.
At this point in the movie, what we see is a text come up on the screen saying that they're really real people and that they really did scam people, saying that they were ghost hunters.
The movie doesn't say that. But
ghost hunters? So the next thing that happens is what?
We're at the lecture hall, and it's a lecture about who they are. They're talking to a college class, and I think that the real Lorraine Warren actually has a cameo in this scene. I think she's in the front row of the class.
I don't think that we should be rewarding scam artists with
you
parts of movies.
Because they had to pay them in this movie to use their likeness and name and all that crap.
And so this basically just kind of exists because they say, well, what do we call you? And say, well, I'm Ed, and I'm Lorraine.
Yeah. Some people call us crooks.
Yeah.
They do say that. They do say that. Kooks and wackos and...
I think it says kooks, not crooks, but either are true. Okay.
But what they said in the scroll was that she is a clairvoyant and he is the only non-ordained demonologist recognized by the Catholic Church. And both of those things are true.
Which is why he couldn't do an exorcist.
Right. He couldn't...
Exorcism,
actually,
sorry.
Like, he could probably go through the actions of doing it, but he couldn't do one that would be recognized
well,
by the
Well, if you stick
church.
Around till the end, you might find out if he can or not.
Uh-oh. Spoilers. Wangay Blangay.
All right, so what's the next scene? Oh, this is where it cuts to the family.
Yeah, the family
with the
pulls
most
up-
unfortunate father because he had five daughters.
What's unfortunate
wow.
about that?
The only thing that's unfortunate
about
that.
He probably learned a lot
about
himself.
That's a lot of dowries.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How many weddings does that guy have to pay for? And this isn't like he had five daughters now where it's like, you know, you don't have to pay for all the weddings.
Probably
but this is
three.
Like in the 60s when you definitely had to pay all that. That's not fun.
I'm just going to wheel it on back. Beep.
Speaking of wheeling it on back with the beeping sound, the dad is a trucker in this movie.
He is, and he's Burger from Sex and the City, and I love him. It's Ron Livingston.
From Office Space?
Yeah, he was
Office
in Office
For every
Space.
Man out there who doesn't know what the fuck Jen is talking
and
about.
For all middle-aged women and men, because this show is good, it's A Million Little Things. It's on ABC. Yeah.
So this is where the guy from Office Space pulls up.
Everybody's going into their house. We find out the older daughter is pissed off about moving. We also see the
Yeah, she's real, like, moody.
They all go kind of investigate their new house, and the dog won't go in.
No, Sadie the dog is the only fucking smart one in the whole family, and she will not go inside.
Is she the smartest one?
Yes.
Though? Because she's the only one that doesn't make it out.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they chained her up by the evil basement.
Yeah, that's true.
And she couldn't get away, so it killed her.
I know, it was sad.
Yeah, it's real sad.
Well, I'm pretty sure my dog would have been like, oh, I smell a demon. I'm going to go join forces.
I'm going to go smell its balls.
Yeah, my dog would be like, oh, we can work together and cause Michael more problems.
Your dog is insane.
She's a demon.
She's beautiful, but she's insane.
She bit through my thumb. All I'm saying is that, like, demons and my dog have a lot in common.
They do.
And they both drink holy water.
What you're thinking of is toilet water.
Oh!
That's what you're thinking of. Oh. So anyway, they're looking around the house. They're looking at the rooms. There's a lot of furniture just still in the place.
It's a lot of weird drywall cracks.
Yeah.
Like,
this
they don't paint
it's
it.
An old 70s house that was, like, old in the 50s house.
Yeah, it was probably built in, like, the 1860s. Right?
And it's definitely haunted and evil. So then we see the youngest daughter out sitting by the tree by the lake, and she's got the creepiest music box in the world in her lap. And
it's a circus tent.
It is a circus tent. With
it
a
is.
Creepy
okay.
clown inside.
I was wondering what that was. It is a circus tent.
And it's a cloudy mirror with a swirly thing.
And when it spins, the mirror.
It's a hypnotizing mirror thing.
Mm-hmm.
At this point is when they try and get Sadie to come inside and she won't. And that sort of ends the scene, right?
Yep. And then we get to the clapping game. And this is the first time we see it, but we're going to see it a couple more
and this
times.
Time it's just the girls.
Let's pause for responsible parenting or just parenting before the internet and cable TV.
Yeah, welcome to Parenting Corner. I'm Mikey and Todd.
The two of us that have no kids. Jen, we got this. Yeah, what I don't like is they're brand new in this house, Mikey, and they find it best to blindfold themselves and walk around like idiots.
Yeah, and there are boxes all over the place.
There's boxes and knives.
And they don't know where the house is.
Stairs.
Yeah.
And the house is haunted. Haven't they seen the walls?
I know. So they're playing the clapping game.
And what the clapping game is one somebody's blindfolded.
No, not just somebody. The whole family but one person.
Yeah, somebody's blindfolded, and then everybody else goes and hides in the house, and that blindfolded person wanders around, and the people that are hiding clap.
I was wrong.
apologize. Did you think it was backwards?
I just thought everyone was blindfolded.
You think everyone who was hiding was blindfolded,
and
then the person who was trying to find them had the gift of sight? That is the easiest game to win.
Everyone was blindfolded.
Oh, okay. That game's still horrible. It's just a group full of people bumping into walls.
And then one person just laughing their ass off.
The ghost is like, oh my God.
Like putting things in their way and then running around and putting something in front of you.
But the girls play it, and this is where they discover the hole in the wall, like the closet-ish wall. They're, one of them is hiding in the closet. The blindfolded girl goes into the closet and like molests her into the wall, and it breaks.
She does lunge at her.
Yes.
Yeah. So hard that she busts a hole through the wall.
As
yeah.
you do. I busted holes through walls.
I find that very easy to believe.
Yeah, me too.
I've destroyed things very easily. I'm a bull in a world. I think China shop.
Yeah, oh my God. We went to Kansas City with you. We know.
Yeah. So they find the stairs in the basement.
They find a hole in the closet. Right. Yes. And this hole, it's like a boarded up wall down to an evil basement.
It's just a basement, everyone.
I mean, but
it's evil as shit, Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell.
Did y'all grow up with basements?
Yes.
Did you go down there?
Yes.
I didn't have any basements.
Was it evil?
Yes.
That's why Todd's a ghost.
Yeah. Wait, what? No, seriously, we had a basement in a few of the houses I grew up in.
Okay, so the next thing that happens is Dad goes down into the creepy, cobwebby, secret basement they just found.
With a match.
Oh my God, that's so stupid.
They're poor. They got to save the
they have flashlights. This movie is riddled with flashlights.
Flashlights are cutting-edge technology back then.
They had flashlights
in
the 40s.
That's like taking your iPhone down the basement.
No, it's not. And you would do that. You would definitely do that. But they had flashlights in the 40s, Mikey. So down there, he doesn't really find anything when he goes down there.
Except for this Blair piano.
An evil piano. Well, that piano is evil.
It never comes back in the movie.
Actually, Mikey has a point. That piano is guilty by association at best.
Nothing ever happens with that piano.
Maybe the piano picks up the shotgun at the end and starts shooting it.
I think that is what happens.
You ever think about that, Mikey?
Who shot the shotgun, Mikey?
Who shot the shotgun?
Evil piano.
Yeah. All right. So he goes downstairs. They see all this furniture and he's just like, you know what? I'll come down tomorrow and we'll figure this whole thing out, more or less.
Yeah. But I mean, this would actually be pretty cool if you moved to a house. There was a secret basement with all these antiques in it.
No.
All of those antiques will be haunted.
Yeah.
That's why you sell them all and you get a little money to put paint on the walls.
And that's why listeners don't buy antiques, because they're haunted. Somebody found them in their haunted basement.
Oh my God. They tried to flip this house, but this house flipped them. Yeah.
The house flipped her upside down.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, they christened the new house too.
And by christen, she means boning in the bedroom.
But I think it's meant to show they have a good relationship.
They do have a good relationship.
They've got grown children. They've been together for a while.
Oh, yeah, they have.
He's pretty muted, like defeated by this whole family.
I'll say this, though. I feel like without this scene, you really are questioning why she has so many bruises throughout the movie. But I mean, they do have a good relationship.
They
but like,
do.
If your neighbor was like, hey, we're just moving to the neighborhood, and then the next time you saw her, she had a bunch of bruises and then progressively got more and more bruises, you'd be like, you need to call the cops.
I gotta get out of here.
Exactly. You would want to leave.
Okay. So the next thing we see is they wake up and the mom has a bruise.
She knows. Oh, yeah. And she was like, what did you do to me last night?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. I've been phoning our sex for the past 12 years. I have no idea.
I got hypnotized in the middle of the last sex.
This is on her shin. So I'm like, what did you think like, happened last
really?
Night?
What could have happened? What maybe position bruises your shin, Jen?
The wheelbarrow.
You're not doing the wheelbarrow right.
Yeah. I don't think you're doing the wheelbarrow right.
On your shin.
You should be holding her shin if you're doing the wheelbarrow right.
God, this is why I'm single.
Yeah,
because you call sex the wheelbarrow.
So what we find out, they say the heater is down in the basement, which has been boarded
up.
So what? The furnace. And so what did you say, Todd? You said that's how I know.
I was like, then you could not have bought that house because it would not have passed inspection.
Was there inspections back then, though?
I don't know. Hey, 70s people, can you tell us?
But yeah, so the dad is downstairs sort of like going through, and as the mom is walking downstairs, he's like screwing in the light bulb. So it's a little tense because it's like flickering light or whatever. Uh-huh. And then when she gets down there, it reveals that it's just her husband down there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh yeah, I got to get the furnace on because it's so cold here.
Which was down in the boarded up basement.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
Well, and so one of the fun facts that I had was that in the state of Rhode Island, you are not required to tell people the history of the house when you're buying it, which is why they could sell the house without telling about all of
Is that still a law to this day?
I mean, my Wikipedia search says that it is, but I don't know for sure.
Don't come here for facts, but do come here for Jen fun facts.
That's why it's the smallest state.
We also find out that the clocks have been stopping at 3:07.
Yes, because that's when the evil happens.
It does. Yes. So now what we need to introduce is a ticking clock in their house.
Oh my God.
Oh, do you think their watches stop like that?
Yeah, I think all the watches stop. I think all the clock devices stop at 3:07. There were no digital devices at this point.
Well, haunted clocks still right twice a day, Todd.
That is true, Mikey. Yeah.
Oh, and then we hear the youngest girl screaming in the backyard, and we find Sadie, the dog, who's
this is hard for me, man. I hate when dogs die. Like, it's the saddest to me.
I used to before my current puppy.
Oh, but yeah, like,
wow.
Sorry. I don't know, man. It's just hard for me. I miss my dog. Yeah. But yeah, so like, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Ron Livingston nonchalantly goes and checks its pulse.
It looked more to me like he was covering its neck because something had slit its throat and his daughter was right there looking at it.
No, I think the movie would have showed it because
I don't think it. I mean, it
I'm
didn't show.
I'm kind
of
glad they didn't really lean into this. They didn't show too much of it because for a while I was like, well, maybe the dog's just sick. And then we see the mound with the cross that says Sadie on it. That's how we know the dog died. But we really only see the dog once or twice, too.
Just that first scene where it won't go in the house, and then that's it.
And then they hear her outside, and they talk about her when they're about to get busy on the first night. So that's kind of just...
busy.
Sadie's barking. Who cares?
Yeah, because you got to get it, ma'am.
It's dick o'clock. My clock
3:07
is stopped.
It's dick o'clock.
Holy shit, guys. I want a shirt that says 3:07, and then underneath it says, it's dick o'clock.
And you know what? Dick o'clock is right all day long.
Somebody design a shirt right now.
I don't know if I want buy to that see shirt. A dick
new merch.
O'clock shirt.
Yeah, new merch for
what,
sure.
What do we think?
It's a dick.
The orb.
It's obviously
I don't
want to
see it. No, dick pics are... Mm.
Guys, never send an unsolicited dick pic.
Or just don't send them at all.
No, they're fine if the girl asks for it. If a girl asks you for a dick pic, just send her a picture of a clock stuck at 3:07. Because it's like, dick o'clock.
What time are you picking me up tonight? Dick o'clock. Oh, so 3:07?
Mikey, I think I understand why you're not getting on these dates.
Yeah.
Why I'm getting off of them. Yeah.
So then we go to the Warren's house and we see the museum.
Yeah, so it sort of like cuts back and forth between the Warrens, the scam artists, and the family that's being haunted, right? So the scam artists are showing
the heroes of the movie.
Yeah, the scam artists are showing this guy through their...
Todd's got some feelings about the
sort of...
What was that guy's story?
I think he's just like a reporter. Maybe.
Yeah, I think he was a reporter because he did have a tape recorder and he was like recording sort of like an interview type style.
Yeah.
But it seemed more like he was going to write a report later than use the audio.
Yes.
So anyway, so Scam Dad is talking to the reporter inside
their museum of horrors.
Yeah.
It's a guest bedroom, let's be honest.
Converted guest bedroom. Yeah. And it's got a bunch of artifacts.
Well, maybe not
artifacts because they're not Indiana Jones, but it's
this
like a
like
bunch of haunted items.
Studio for all of the future spinoff franchises.
No, it's basically like the first part of Crackle Barrel.
Yeah.
True. Oh my God.
It's like haunted Crackle Barrel. Mm-hmm.
It's like you walk in, you know, you got 20 minute wait and then you can go on the porch, play checkers.
I do think at one point you see their daughter playing a kazoo in the museum.
Yeah. Or you can go look at the Annabelle doll, real expensive. No one ever buys it.
Yeah.
But he then explains to the reporter that everything in that room is haunted.
Yes.
And we see the Annabelle doll. We see the picture of the nun from the movie The Nun that we did. I think it's episode 16.
That's the most recent one. This is the very first one in the universe. Yeah, and they talk about how they have a priest come out every month to bless the room. And the reporter is saying, why would you want all this stuff in your house? And he's saying, but they're all trapped inside these vessels right now. And it's safer. I mean, this is
his
logic.
We gotta keep the genie in the bottle.
Exactly. It's safer to keep them trapped in this Annabelle doll that we've got them in rather than destroy the artifact and then they're not trapped anymore.
You just like rent some storage space?
Yeah. And then you'd never have to go there and you would just be like, hey, priest, go to my storage space and throw some holy water on
it. But then what if some dick kid breaks in at Dick O'Clock?
Then he would die.
But the demon's going to come back and get the Warren.
That actually sounds like a way better spinoff movie than their spinoff movies.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
So we go from the scam artist. Is it the Warren family?
It's the Warren family, yes.
Ed and Lorraine
Warren.
So we go from Ed and Lorraine to who?
The dad is wandering around at night and he sees the door door open.
So it zooms out from the staticky TV, and we see Ron Livingston asleep on his desk.
It looks like he was like doing businessy paperwork, maybe
accounting.
And he's
got his glass next to him.
Scotch,
so, you know.
Yeah, he's got like, yeah.
This is like super meta, but I think he was actually going over his route, because in the next scene, he's talking to his wife about the route to Florida he's going to take that's going to have him out for a week.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but that's
his,
not really
also
important.
Talking about his rates, and he was talking about, you know, this is a little lower. I don't know if I can make my bills or whatever. So maybe he's doing the budget.
No, that's really super important, but it's probably something
it's
like
the
that.
The most important thing in the film.
What?
He gets woken up, and he's wandering around the dark, creepy house, and he sees a door open, and then he turns around, and the daughter's on the steps, and that's Todd.
Why?
It all scared Todd.
It all scared Todd.
Yeah, I hate...
We should talk about that. This movie is scary from, like, minute one all the way to the end.
It really is.
And it's just really intense the whole way
through. Yeah, from that Annabelle doll, while I was like, I'm out, it was freaky the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
The dad wakes up, the older daughter's on the stairs, she's like, the other dog, or Sadie, or what's her face, is sleepwalking again.
Sadie's the dead dog.
I never learned the daughter's
name. Me either.
Yeah, it's middle daughter, and it's the daughter who is in Twilight. Okay, so then we have the next morning, and the mom wakes up with even...
Wait, did we talk enough about the kid hitting her head on the wardrobe?
Yeah, because I don't think anything else happens.
I don't think
that.
It does either. I think it's just creepy. I think it just sets up the fact that she does sleepwalk, right?
Yes, and it just sets like an underlying
theory. And we learned that wardrobe was in the house.
Already.
Yes. Already.
So yeah, all the daughters go off to school except for the youngest one. She's
who's not young enough not to go to school.
Yeah, she's clearly a first grader, so I don't know what's going on in this house. But anyway.
It's a movie.
So she's talking to someone, and the mom is kind of wandering around the house, probably cleaning or doing whatever. We see the daughter talking to someone, and then we open the door just enough to realize that she's not talking to anyone.
Yeah, she's talking to no one.
Chair.
Yeah, it's freaky.
And so then she and the mom start playing the clap game.
No, because the daughter's like, I met my friend here. You can see him in
the
creepy music box.
But she doesn't see anything, right?
She doesn't, but it still scared the shit out of Todd, because I wrote, Todd jumps.
I don't want to talk about that.
And I don't even remember what it was.
I don't remember either.
It was probably just music. I honestly, in things like this, the tense it is, what?
I remember what it was, and we got a video of this. Okay, so she's looking at the music box, and then the tiny little girl jumps behind the mom and says, boo! And Todd lost his shit.
Yeah. It's scary.
And said, fuck you, kid.
Oh, yeah. He said, fuck you, kid.
I remember that.
It's immortalized on my phone, too.
I hate it. In this movie, it's really that when you don't see it and it's building the suspense, that's the worst part for me.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, and we'll get there, but the exorcism part is not that scary to me because I can see the evil. Mm-hmm. I know where it is. It's not going to pop out from behind things, right?
Yes. And there's a lot of popping out of things.
This movie stays pop out scary the whole time.
Yeah, until like the last 15 minutes, it is very suspenseful pop out scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's when they start playing the blindfoldy clappy game.
Yes.
As you do with one other person in a house by herself. Because she bumps into the railing to almost falls down the stairs.
Yes.
Like, yeah, wonder how she got those bruises.
Yeah. It's clear now. You're just dumb.
Okay, so then
she
walks
in. Stub toes of this game.
You gotta play with shoes on. Okay, so then we see she's listening and she's going in, and we see she goes into the room with the wardrobe, and she's hearing clapping come from the wardrobe. And the wardrobe doors
swing
either
open
or
slowly.
Do they slowly
open? But slowly,
slowly.
And then we see.
And she goes, second clap.
Yeah. And then we see grown up sized hands clapping from outside of the clothes of the wardrobe.
Yeah. Through the clothes and then clap, clap.
And then she goes up and she like kind of like pushes the clothes aside. We see there's nothing there. And then she sees the daughter coming from another room.
I saw this part in the trailer, and it scared the shit out of me in the trailer. Like, I was looking around my room in the trailer.
It was this scene that made me realize that this movie is still scary on the second watch.
Yeah, because I think the underlying tone of the movie is scary, but also the jump scares are, they're effective. I don't really think there are many cheap jump scares in this movie.
No,
you know? So then we see the next scene where Berger is talking on the phone about the next truck driver.
Berger is Ron Livingston.
Yes, also known as the father. And they're talking on the phone about his next truck drive, and we see it's half his rate, but he's got a take it anyways, which lets you know that they're having financial problems.
Look at that house.
Right.
They're having financial problems.
Okay, so, and they've already talked about...
That house is huge.
They've already talked about... But it's haunted,
though.
Which is how they bought it for cheap. And so this kind of goes back into the Amityville horror, and I've often thought about this with haunted houses. Like, yes, we say, or Todd said a billion times, I would just move, I would get the fuck out. But everything you own is in that house. All of your money is tied up in that house. Like, yeah, you... How many nights can you afford to stay in a hotel?
Yo, Nashville is
what
so
are you gonna
expensive.
Do?
I would totally buy a haunted house.
You... Right. Go to East Nashville. So you... you set it on fire and collect the insurance money. 100%.
It's foolproof. Yeah. We are not recommending arson. But if your house is haunted, what other plan do you,
you
have?
You allegedly set it on fire.
No, but seriously, like, how bad would it have to get for you to leave everything that you own?
The first time something pulled my leg at 3:07 a.m., like I would run out of the house and never return.
Like a practical joke? Like pulling your leg?
Yeah, that's what it was. The first time Ashton Kutcher broke into my apartment and punked me.
I love Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, my God. Dax Shepard, I'm on to you.
Bro.
Stick a clock, bro.
Gross, he would say that.
You've been punked.
But seriously, like, I mean, if they leave, they don't have anything. They're going to have to, like, live in his truck.
That's possible. You can do that. You know what's not haunted? His truck. Let's leave.
Yeah, well, maybe unless the ghost attaches to the truck.
Although when we do find out, and I like this because they explain that once the scam artists come and try to start scamming them, they do explain why they can't just leave the house.
Right. Trust the movie.
Because it's attaching to them. It's coming from the house, but it's attaching to them.
It was like a stray cat. It just like it grows attached.
And at one point, they try to take her out of the house and her flesh almost kills her. So then we see the sister in bed and she, like a monster, is sleeping with her feet out from under the covers. So
she's
begging to get her feet dragged. So the logic,
she's begging for Dax Shepard to run in there and grab her leg.
She's asking for a haunting. Okay,
I think she is. Is her collar popped?
Yeah, why do pajamas have collars?
Man, the collar game in this movie was on point. There was a ruffly collar towards the middle of this movie that was insane.
It was the '70s.
It was amazing.
Like, what are they? Like, what, you gotta wear a tie to your pajamas?
I mean, what if your neck gets cold while you're sleeping? You can't wear a scarf when you're sleeping. You might choke. So anyways, she's got her feet out. She doesn't have her ghost repellent blanket on her feet. And so the ghost pulls her foot and wakes her up.
It's because her stupid sister is probably like really cold natured. So they have to turn the heat up. And like, we've all slept with someone who's cold natured and they turn the heat up and you have to take your feet out of the blankets because this person is a monster.
Or shared an office with that person.
Yes. I've done that. I'll sometimes sleep with one leg outside the cover, one leg under the cover.
Dating someone like that is terrible. Like, you just put more blankets on the thing. Anyway, okay. So the ghost pulls her leg because her sister is a monster who wants it really hot in the room.
Yes, and so she sees that someone is behind the... Oh, no, first she goes to look underneath the bed.
Under the bed.
And I
Todd
love how they do this
out.
Because you think God. That there's going to be something under the bed, and
I
there
did.
Isn't. But then from looking under the bed, we can see from across the room that the door is moving just a little bit, and that there's someone...
And she can't do. Her head's under the bed looking at the door, and it goes...
Yeah, and then she... And it's kind of a cool camera flip thing, because then she's back up. She's sitting on her bed. She's looking. She wakes her sister up. She starts crying. And we just see this black space behind the door. And she says, there's something behind the door. And
there's someone. There's someone behind the door.
It's standing right behind the door. So sister gets up to check it out.
Puts her glasses on.
Yeah, and she goes in the glasses, sister. Yeah, she goes to look. And she says, there's nobody there. And she turns around and she's looking at the sister. And the sister says, it's right behind you.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, both those girls were great in this scene.
They really were.
It was so scary.
It scares Todd.
I freaked out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem in this movie called people don't scream for help fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, she wakes her sister up and they're both staring at the corner. And I would be like, scream for dad immediately.
Well, what if you scream and the ghost comes and gets you?
Your dad's on the way.
Yeah. I would be like, there's like 19 people in this house. I should be like,
I don't know. I think it's more like a frozen fear, like deer in headlights kind of thing a lot of times.
The sister wasn't like that. She like put her glasses on. She's like,
because the sister couldn't see.
Well, actually, there is no ghost over there.
I've got my ghost glasses on. But she doesn't have the special 13 ghost glasses.
But she does go over there and she's like, there's nothing over here. Oh, it smells like rotting flesh or something like that.
Smells like the blood of 1,000 corpses. Okay, so then she screams and everybody comes in and she's talking to the dad and she's crying and she says that she talked to her and that she said she wants her family dead.
Oh, yeah, that part's super creepy.
It is. Yeah, this whole scene is really creepy and really effective.
So this is when we go to Ed and Lorraine's house and they're out talking by the garden, right?
Yeah, the grandmother's doing the laundry. And he's like, I'm going to the store to pick up some things. And she's like, don't you try to lie to me. You're a terrible liar.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I'm actually going ghost hunting.
And she's like, now without me, you're not. Let me get dressed.
And then they just leave their daughter because they've got just...
Well, and grandma's there to take care of the daughter. Yeah,
I know. But I mean, they didn't have to like make any kind of plans.
I want to see the movie from the grandma's perspective, who's just like, I wish my daughter and her husband would like
care for their child.
Yeah, care for their child and not go ghost hunting.
She had to move into their house to make sure that child got good care.
With the haunted museum. She had to move into the haunted museum.
If you're at least
going
to move me in, like, give me the guest room. Don't put all your haunted crap in there.
She sleeps in the loft attic apartment.
Under the stairs, like Harry Potter.
So this is when we see them in the attic of some random person's house that we don't know. And
it's a couple.
This scene only exists to show that they aren't scam artists, even though they are in real life scam artists. And I will acknowledge in this movie they're not scam artists, because this movie posits the theory that this is a real thing, even though it's not. In real life, they were scam artists.
Yes.
Fun fact?
Yeah, I'll have fun facts about that.
Wait for it. I'm really doubling down on the fact that in real life they're scam artists, and I'm going to feel like a heel if they're not.
Yeah, when you get home and you're haunted now, and then you have to call Lorraine Warren and Ed Warren back from the dead to save you from this ghost.
Yeah, what if the fun fact is like, fun fact, Ed and Lorraine Warren discovered ghosts.
Yeah. And now they're in your house, Todd.
Why would you put that on me?
It's kind of like
already
glue.
Have trouble sleeping tonight.
Aww.
It's 10:09. I am terrified to go home. If I wake up at 3, I'm not going to go back to sleep. Don't laugh
Siri,
like that.
Set a reminder to call Todd at 3:07.
I'll kill you. No.
So the next thing that happens, this is going to be a fun thing to talk about, because the mom is now wandering around the house at night when everybody's asleep because she heard something funny. And so she walks up the steps and we see all the pictures on the wall. And then we hear a giant crash.
Oh, my
and all
God.
The pictures
this scared the shit out of me.
And Todd, cartoon style, flips his phone up in the air.
So this is
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Shaggy threw his smartphone in the air.
I'm so mad at you guys right now. You know what the worst part of this is I wasn't even looking at the screen. I was so scared. I was having to like, and I'll do this occasionally throughout the movies. I need
you gotta
a break.
Second screen it.
So I have to second screen it. And I was literally
put his phone down.
Yeah. I was responding to someone's message on Twitter and I flipped my phone because just the music alone scared me enough that I like jerked and my phone went straight up in the air and it
and
was
I'm
very
so
terrifying.
Sad I didn't catch it. Yeah.
No one would believe it. And like even if you caught that on film, people would be like, "Todd's faking it."
Yeah.
But he's not faking
it.
It was literally that ridiculous.
He flipped his phone up in the air, like higher than his head. Like it did a couple 360s.
It was
in the
air. Like a cartoon.
And
it was.
And he was like hot potatoing in his hands. For
oh,
a
he
minute.
Looks mad that we're talking about this. Yeah.
Not very happy. Oh. I was very scared.
Let's talk about it. Never.
Okay, so then we notice that all the pictures have crashed down on the floor, and then she gets pushed down the stairs.
Yeah, she does.
She's going. She gets pushed down the stairs in the creepy basement.
No. The basement door opens, and she hears like laughing or creepy ghosty sounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she says, she peers in. She says, "If anybody's down there, I'm closing the door right now." And then the door slams.
I'm gonna lock you in here.
And knocks her down the stairs. So now she's locked in the creepy basement stairs, and then she's looking around at all the creepy haunted furniture, and then a ball falls down.
The light bulb explodes.
Yeah, it blows up, Jen. This whole thing is so scary, and they are like, this movie is a master of suspense.
It really is, yeah. It drags it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not gonna... Okay.
This is one of the scariest scenes of the movie.
I've never seen Jaws, but everyone says that that movie is really scary because you never really see Jaws until like the very end or something. And I don't know, it came out in the 80s. I'm sure it doesn't hold up as well as this movie does. 70s, wow, okay.
Jaws does hold up.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to watch it.
I'm sure we'll watch it at some point. But, but you don't see anything in the scene, really. You see the hands.
Yeah,
but you don't really see anything other than the hands. And the hands aren't excessively scary on their own right.
I was scared.
I was terrified, but that's what I mean. Like, they do such a good job of building suspense.
And then maintaining it. Because once you have a jump scare, like in lots of movies, you have that jump scare, and then we all can laugh, and the pressure, like,
they
dump
don't
the pressure
do that.
Off. So, but here, like, you have the jump scare, and then we're still in it, and then you've got another jump scare, and then another one, and it's
the
just
the light bulb
intense.
Explodes, which is a jump scare.
Yes.
The next thing you know, she's at the top of the stairs, she lights a match. Where'd you get the matches from?
Because the husband puts it, Ron Livingston puts it down as he's leaving.
Oh, good catch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's got the match. She's like, not trying to get out. She's just freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the clap behind her. And then Todd flipped his phone up in the air again, even though he knew this was coming because he saw it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I think he flipped his phone even higher this time.
I don't know.
Do they hired a hand model to have ghost hands?
Yeah, I think so.
Who did?
Do you think they were like, "Hey, we need some like real creepy, like pale hands for this movie casting call"?
I bet it was just casting couch hand job.
Oh,
let me show me what I can do with those hands to get me this job.
I want you to clap.
How about you want this hand job?
Oh.
Why did I just cover this house in penicillin?
I'll say this about that scene. I knew it was coming because I watched the trailer for Patreon, and this is like the build up in the trailer. And even the trailer does sort of what you're talking about, and this scene does it really well. It builds up to a scare, but then that scare doesn't release any. It's just the new plateau.
Yeah. Right.
And then it goes up again, and then that plateaus, and then it goes up again. And like the whole movie is just building and building and building and building.
I remember watching that trailer in the theaters and being scared of the trailer.
Oh, man.
Because right after this hand clap, we go upstairs and we see the sister is bonking her head.
But more aggressively than before.
Yeah, yes. On the Narnia thing.
And then the wardrobe, glasses Mikey. Sister.
Wardrobe.
Yeah.
The witch's wardrobe.
The glasses
it sister. Is the witch's wardrobe.
It is the witch's wardrobe.
No lion, but witch's wardrobe is in this movie.
We're
C.S. Lewis should sue.
It's the witch's wardrobe.
What? Nailed it.
Okay, so the sister is beating her head against the wardrobe, and then Glass's sister puts her to bed, and then we see from behind that now the wardrobe is opening itself, and we see the door kind of just slamming.
This is where I kicked the footstool. Yes. Yeah, or not
we
footstool,
got a video. I think
rest.
We posted this video.
This is the one we posted on social. Yeah, yeah. Because they lead the girl back to bed. This one is asleep. As she wakes up, the other girl is walking towards, she's sitting up. Mm-hmm. The other girl is walking towards the wardrobe to close the wardrobe doors. Mm-hmm. And then they see the witch on top of the wardrobe, and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah,
it was terrifying.
Very creepy.
It is, and this is the first time we see her. Yeah, and she's just sitting on top of the wardrobe with that creepy witch smile.
She looks like Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
Like grown-up Linda Blair.
It does have a little Exorcist vibe to it, I'll give you that. Yeah.
It does, and it's a little cartoony. Like, she's got a cartoony witch face.
Yeah, well, this scene works because they don't stay on it very long.
Yes, exactly.
But
she's
in the
not
end,
green,
I think you're right when it stays.
It's real quick.
Face,
like, it jumps, she jumps down on the girl, and then it cuts.
But it is very clear when it is the witch because she's got a very striking, like, witchy face.
Witchy, yes.
Ooh, witchy face. Okay, so then the dad gets home, and there's just chaos because the mom's still locked down in the closet. She's banging on the door. So she opens her up, and the sister, I think, has been attacked by the witch, but you can't see her. So she's just kind of rolling around on the floor. So everybody is freaking out, and he's like, what's going on?
It's Dick O'Clock. What's going on?
The next thing we see is the lecture, and they're giving, this is, I think, when we see the scene from The Nun.
Yeah, well, I think they just used this scene in The Nun.
I think so too. Yeah, and they're explaining exorcism. I think it's infestation, oppression, and possession, but they're basically explaining the stages that we are watching happen.
We don't really know
movie.
What happened because we were talking.
I mean, I've seen possession movies. I know what was happening.
Yeah, they're explaining the trajectory of the movie, and the mom is in the audience. And then after that, we see them walk into their car, and then assistant man brings mom up and says, something's happening in my house. Can you please come look?
Yes.
Like, yeah. My house, my family, please come look.
And
yeah.
They have to talk them into it for a minute, but eventually they say yes. And so that's when they come to the house.
How much time has elapsed, do you think, during this whole thing?
A couple weeks, I'd say.
And you mean from the point when they moved in till now? Probably a couple weeks, yeah.
Because I feel like it was maybe even a little bit longer, because like she's like, it sounded like she took a while to track them down.
It could be.
Honestly, okay, so in my mind, the only way it would be okay for me to stay in a house that's haunted like this, there would have to be months in between weird shit happening, right? Because you'd have to get more comfortable in the place again. Like, if you just moved in, that first night crazy shit happens, and then every night crazy shit happens, you're moving. Yeah. So the only way it makes sense to me is if it's been a few weeks.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah.
Is that like,
so,
like,
I mean,
like once a week, something really bad happens.
But right. It has progressed the movie, to the point that they say they're all sleeping down in the living room together, yes, too, because nobody wants to sleep
by the point
bedrooms.
The scam artists show up. Yeah,
the Warren show up. Yeah,
right, scam artists.
Okay,
I can't wait for those fun facts, man.
I'm excited about it.
I've got some very fun facts for this episode.
Yeah, you've been teasing these fun facts.
Yeah, we've heard about it.
They're walking in, and Lorraine is looking around, and she's kind of getting these looks on her face. They are talking about what's been happening in the house. They say one of the things is a rancid smell that they hear, which might be a sign of,
I think they refer to it
possession.
As like rotting meat.
Yeah. So then we also hear that there have been birds banging against the glass, and we saw that, I think, right around dog was killed.
Yeah,
we saw
throughout the film, a bird kills itself on the house.
Yeah. And that's when they talk about the clock stopping at 3:07 and the pictures falling. So this is kind of a summary of everything that's been going around in the house. Then Lorraine goes down into the cellar and she hears some stuff. Then we have the kitchen interview, and they're talking to the parents, but Ed is talking to the parents, but Lorraine is talking to the youngest daughter, and she's checking out this music box, and she's looking around the room.
The music box is creepy. It spins. There's a mirror with a spiral. There's a creepy clown head that pops up and down.
It's creepy. And then we see a creepy pilgrim looking boy who just kind of is standing in the background.
He looks like quite the fancy lad.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't look too scary.
I mean, except that he's a ghost, but yeah. So she goes out and she stands on the dock right under the tree. And then Ed comes out to talk to her and is like, why are you so upset? And we see the feet behind her. So she can see this woman hanging from the tree, but he can't see her.
Yeah.
At this point, we should mention that there's this running thing between Ed and Lorraine about, what did you tell me on our wedding night?
Oh, yeah. That God brought us together.
God brought us together.
Yeah, it was okay.
And they tie it back in later.
Yeah, they
do. I'm not against
it. That's why I'm bringing it up now, because it ties back in at the end.
Yeah.
Then they're saying, we think the house needs an exorcism. And they say that Lorraine has seen a dark entity, and it's behind the mom, and it's behind the girls, and saying it's kind of like gum. Once it kind of attaches to you, it doesn't really matter where they move. If the ghost wants to, the ghost is going to follow them.
Yes, and this is sort of how it explains that, and it explains that they can't just leave, which I liked. I thought
I do too.
It made me understand why they just stayed in the house.
Todd and I like when the movies explain the rules, because we always are like, well, you would just fly away. And you would be fine.
We see them at the Warren house, and the daughter has given Lorraine a locket, which will come back into play. And one's got her picture, and the other one's got the mom and dad's picture in it. So then we see they're sitting down and telling the story of the house, because they've been doing some research, and they're saying that a woman named Bathsheba,
it's a biblical name.
But she was actually a woman. Yes, it is a biblical name, but she was a woman, and she had
in like
baby.
The 1800s-ish times, right? Maybe 1900s.
And she was the original, or she was the first person who lived in that
the
house.
The original owner, yeah.
Yeah, so she had a baby and then sacrificed it like 7 days
later.
Didn't
they say she was like, survived the witch trials or something?
I think so. Yeah, I don't.
And she married a guy and had a baby.
Someone may or may not have been talking while the exposition.
I talk because I get scared.
Oh, I know. Okay, so she sacrificed herself and then she hangs herself, and that was kind of like her gift to Satan, is how they explain it. That the fact that she is a woman, the way they explain it is that God has given her this gift of creating a child, and she's used it against him by using that gift against him and sacrificing her child. I don't know.
Right. And then she killed herself. Yeah.
She killed herself at 3:07. That's when the time of death is.
She runs outside to the tree, but as she does it, she declares, kind of on a tangent, like, if you try to take my land, I'm going to curse you.
Yeah, that seems weird, right?
Right. She sacrifices a child for Satan, runs outside. Now she's all about her land.
She's worried about land rights.
Yeah.
So then they talk about the pilgrim boy that we've seen and his mother.
Because they're the next group to move in.
They are the next group to move in, and that he disappeared and that she killed herself in the basement. So now we kind of get an explanation for why the basement's so haunted. And then
it seems like for every haunted place in the house, there is a story of a new family that moved in after the witch.
Yeah. And I was trying to keep up with them and write them all down, and I kind of lost the thread because she just kept talking about people.
And there
that
are a
died.
Lot.
There's like, yeah, there's like four.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a theme of someone killing other people and then killing themselves.
Yeah.
Murder suicide.
Yeah.
Is what that's
murder
called.
Suicide is the technical term. And then the tape that where they record, I just wrote down lots of death. And then the tape turns itself on and we hear the interview and then we hear. And I don't know what else we hear.
Actually the noise I make when my alarm goes off. I'm like,
all right.
Gross. But yeah, so this is where we find out that their tape is like hearing the voices or whatever. Yeah.
And then we get an investigation setup montage.
Yeah, setting up a camera montage. Gonna find some sexy ghosts. Snap their little pictures.
Pause your montage.
They're the ones I love the most. Go.
We get introduced to Brett the cop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's a cop because he has a wicked ass mustache.
And they talk about it. He's like, hey, did you remember that I'm a cop? And the assistant who helps with the cameras and stuff and the black lights and all
is his name Chad?
I think it's Drew.
Drew. It was Drew. Yes.
I knew
it was
a called him assistant. Flirty assistant
guy.
Because he hits on the oldest daughter. Okay.
So they set up all the cameras to ghost hunt.
Yes. And it's a fun little montage where everybody
It's not just cameras, though. They set up microphones in the hotspot rooms.
Yep.
So they not only capture still pictures, but also audio.
This movie doesn't make any sense because when the cameras do take pictures, they're like, it doesn't take pictures of people. And they just explain how that all works.
It's ghost photography.
Yeah, it's ghostography. But I'm not quite sure how it works either, and I'm not sure they ever explain it. So they set up all the cameras and the audio equipment.
Yes. Oh, and then I said we had some lady bonding because the mom and Lorraine are talking to each other, and this is when we see the most photoshopped picture I've ever seen.
But it's not
of the family. It's not.
The reveal at the end is they actually went to to the beach and they just took a shitty photo at the beach where you see zero beach.
Yeah. Wait, listeners, the photo is the family, but the background is a blue sky and it looks photoshopped. And so the whole film, we're like, it's photoshopped. And then at the end,
and we see them at the
beach.
They
film them taking the picture. Mm-hmm. Someone just gets an angle without the beach in the background.
It honestly looks like they went to like Olin Mills in the 70s and stood in front of a cloud backdrop.
That's 100% what happened.
So she touches the mom and sees the day at the beach with her psychic
powers. That was such
a
good memory.
But the mom, okay, so it is a picture of them on the beach. And then she says, oh, that must have been a nice day on the beach. And the mom is like, oh my God, you must be psychic.
Yeah. This actually works.
Bitch, you're holding a picture of you and your kids at the beach.
This actually works because the beach isn't in the photograph. We just talked about this. The beach is just literally a blue sky.
Maybe this.
So she's like, how did you know it's the beach? We totally messed up that photo.
Yeah.
We were in the mountains.
I'm still mad at my husband for taking that photo like that.
You could just tell it was like a real big fight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're setting up and they're just listening for random ghost stuff. And they're also talking about the crosses that they're setting up.
Yeah, and they look like they're fucking radio DJs from Good Morning Vietnam. And I was like, welcome back to WW Ghost Radio. Dead air all the time.
So it's the cop and the assistant doing this.
It is.
They're like, do you hear that? And they're like, no.
They've been having some kind of like rivalry or something.
They have, because Drew, the assistant, believes, obviously he's their assistant, and the cop, Mustache, is like, no, it's just the breeze.
Yeah. How did he even get involved in this? Did it explain it?
I think
he just shows up. He's like, I don't believe in ghosts. You want me to set up some cameras?
Yeah.
I think that the scam artists looped the local police in and honestly, it's a good idea because you can call backup and stuff, even though.
Also, they're setting up guns around the house.
Are you saying they that for taxpayer first. Dollars paid for this guy to spend three nights in this house?
No, I think he volunteered on his own time.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean,
I don't know.
He is, but I do think.
The last
unless his mustache is a uniform.
But he does not believe.
He's investigating the Warrens. And this is all an undercover operation.
Yeah, honestly, someone should be investigating them because they are scam artists.
So then she sees something. They like record down in the basement and some stuff happens, but it's not a ton of
they
stuff.
Set up the crosses. They're like, this really pisses them off. And then they go downstairs and they play the piano. And they're like...
The Bill Murray moment. I thought of the same thing. They don't actually play the piano, but they're like setting up crosses and like splashing holy water. It's like, why are you doing that? It's really pisses them off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I love that movie. Anyway, so then they're in the basement and they're like, spirits, do something. Move the chair. It just kind of looks like a ghost hunter
show. Not a ton of stuff happens either. I think a door closes by itself.
It does. And then they go straight up man on the street style interview down to the basement and it looks like a ghost hunter show at that point.
It does. Yeah. And that doesn't last for too long, thank goodness.
It doesn't. They honestly just go downstairs, try to find anything. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
They go back upstairs, and I honestly thought the camera's going to whip around and show like the witch, maybe like through the door frame or whatever, but they do whip around. Yeah. Nothing's there, but then the door closes by itself.
Behind
and this
them,
is when the cop goes, must have been the breeze.
A draft.
A draft. That's what it
but
was.
But Lorraine was like, I felt something there.
She's saying that all the time, though.
That's what clairvoyants say. They just make shit up.
I got a fun fact. Okay, so the next thing we see is the pancake breakfast, where everybody's happy in the kitchen. They're making pancakes. Everything feels like it's more resolved, I guess, because they didn't find anything last night. So Ed and Lorraine go out and hang the laundry and talk about how wouldn't it be nice if they had a daughter, because they see how happy the family is with all of their daughters. And then they remember, oh, wait, we do,
oh, yeah,
have,
we
a
do have a daughter
that we've
yeah.
abandoned with my
wouldn't
mother.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had a daughter that we did? Didn't ignore that we had. If we didn't leave her home with grandma, then she's not always fucking sad.
And getting attacked by Annabelle.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get there.
It is a weird scene because they're like, we should get a family.
Like, and you have like, a family.
You have a family. Yeah. Oh, is this the where she's like doing the sheet and the sheet blows into the witch who was like, you couldn't see, but when the sheet hits her. Yeah, oh, I hated this.
We start to see wind and we start to see clouds and she's starting to get suspicious and the laundry's starting to blow away. And then, like what Todd said, the sheet blows off the line and we see it like outline the person that was standing right next to her.
This witch wears a sheet.
So then the sheet blows off of the clothesline and it blows and it shows the silhouette of a person, an invisible person that was standing right next to Lorraine.
Scared the shit out of me.
It really did. And then it blows, because it just happens for a second, and then it blows up into the bedroom window where the mom is taking a nap. And then once the sheet drops, we see that there's a woman standing in that window now.
But not the mom.
And walks away. This is the scariest part of the movie that I remember. We see the mom.
This is the vomit transfer scene.
Yeah, she.
I don't like that.
And the witch is just hovering right over her and vomits into her
directly
mouth.
Into her mouth. Yeah, that's real gross. I did not like this scene at all. It was scary and real gross. Like the gross factor was real.
Oh, and then Lorraine is running up and she's trying to find the mom, and the mom walks out and she's like, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just tired. I was asleep."
Yeah.
At that point, she is the witch.
Yeah, she's been possessed by the witch. So then we see the man bonding. Ed and the dad are talking out by a car.
Ed's fixing the car for him. There's an old rundown car and Ed decides to fix it for the dad. Ed's talking about how he's worried about Lorraine because every time they help someone, it takes a little piece of her.
Yeah.
And they did an exorcism and then she saw something really scary and it cuts to the scene and she's freaking out. And then Ed's like, she locked herself in her room and didn't eat or drink.
For like eight days.
And wouldn't tell me what she saw.
And then it's nighttime again and the cop is wandering around. There's so many scenes of people just hearing something and then wandering around the dark house and then seeing a scary thing. And then
no one asks for help.
Well, it drives me insane. And a lot of these scenes, I don't think this one does, but a lot of them, the ghost or the witch is making a lot of noise, but no one else reacts to it except for that one person. But right. I think in this one, it's not. This is the rocking chair on the porch, back porch, maybe?
Yes. He front goes porch, out, he looks out. Yeah,
it's the front porch.
And it could be the wind, but he hears a whisper. It says, "Look what you made me do." So then we see somebody who may or may not be Taylor Swift standing, and she's got her slash marks on her wrist.
It's like a maid.
Yeah. And we assume that she is somebody that what the ghost made her do was kill herself.
This really got me.
Yeah, it really got me. It's bleeding.
I'm kicking myself because I stopped recording at this point, and then seconds later,
were you getting video of me?
And then Taylor Swift bonks out and like says, "Look what you made me do!" And Todd flipped.
It scared the hell out of me because you see her just standing there, and it's not really super scary. It's not super jumpy. And then you see the cuts on her wrists, and then she walks behind a sheet, and then he goes and moves the sheet, and it's not there anymore.
There's not a person really there.
Nobody here. It's the wind or whatever. It's a breeze. And then he turns around, and she's like on him. His face.
Rinsing his face.
Oh my God. It scared the hell out of me.
I swear to God, it sounds like we're exaggerating, but I think you actually jumped out of your chair at this. And it sounds like we're exaggerating, but it is that cartoonish.
Watching movies with you makes them less scary. I was laughing the whole time.
Okay, so then the next thing we see is Cindy walking.
Oh, yeah. So Cindy's walking and these cameras are going off, right?
They're like, let her go. And then the second.
Yeah, this is what they're like.
But then the second that she gets past the point that they can't get her back, that's when they freak out.
It's like when she goes in the room upstairs and it closes the door, then they freak out.
Exactly. Look,
this is the point where the cameras are going off. They're like, people can't set off those cameras. And they never explain why. And that drives me crazy. And then they let her wander upstairs.
And so then they finally get in there and she's not in the room anymore. And they're hearing two voices. They can hear her talking to someone.
Ed Warren goes, "Bring the black light." And the assistant sprints down there and gets the black light. They tear the black light. And it goes,
yeah, and they follow footsteps on the floor
there's like a trail of white stuff on the floor.
It's footsteps.
Yeah.
It's not.
If this you're is going a child's ghost hunting, bedroom.
It's a child's bedroom.
Ghost hunting in my condo, like, you'd be thoroughly confused.
Gross.
It's everywhere.
Oh, we're real haunted. Wink, wink.
How does someone.
Is this ectogasm? But yeah, so they go to the wardrobe and they find a hidden panel in the wardrobe that allows them to go into a crawl space. And in this crawl space, they see a bunch of toys.
They see the daughter.
Yeah, she's asleep.
That's right.
And they just get her out.
And then is it the next day that the wife, Warren, goes in there with the toy?
Yeah, they did a logical thing and waited for the sun to come up. And they're like, okay, now let's go into the crawl space.
And then she investigates the hole.
So the next day, she goes into the crawl space.
And they've got the dust outline because there are several toys in there. And then there's one like hexagon outline and it perfectly matches
the circus tent music box.
Yeah, she places it down and it's like doo, 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 doo. And then it unlocks and the whole wall collapses and she falls
down.
And
she falls down all the way to the basement.
First, she sees a rope. And she pulls it up and it's a noose. Then that's when she falls all the way down.
You got the noose.
And she ends. And this was a really scary part of the movie, too.
This may have been the scariest point for you, Z-Z?
I think so.
When she falls down?
Down, because then she ends up in the basement.
Oh, shit. This was rough.
Yeah. So she's down in the basement and she's looking around and she sees Pilgrim Boy and we see who we assume is his mother over him with a bloody knife.
And we don't see this from her point of view. We see it through the mirror because she has to see through the mirror to see them, right?
Yeah, Lorraine's a boss. She falls down a three-story house, lands in the basement, hears whispers and is like, you know what I'm going to do next? Now that I'm in the crawl space,
open the music box and look for ghosts.
Yeah, and it works. But so we see mom, and then the mom slowly starts to turn her head toward Lorraine. And then Lorraine
doesn't the mom also say, "Look what you made me do"?
Because then we don't see her anymore. Or she looks around and looks away from the mirror. And then all of a sudden she's right behind her and she says, "She made me do it," or something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's how we find out the boy didn't disappear. The mother killed.
And that's what, and then the mother killed herself.
Yeah.
And then she's still down there and we see the feet dangling of the woman who hanged her. And this was so awesome.
This was not awesome.
What?
This was awesome?
Yeah, we see her feet hanging.
Yeah.
And then the feet start to turn around. And I love how this happened because it was so scary and so effective.
Very scary. Yeah.
It
was basically just the
why?
Because it's horror and I love horror.
This is fucking horrible.
I know, it's really scary.
I did not think it was that scary of a scene. I think it was really cool to see the witch hanging out.
Zing! Yes. I hated this. And this is probably what will keep me up at night.
Just watching her hanging around the house?
I told you, it's effective.
Yeah, Mikey. She's chilling. All right, so what happened after this horrible, horrible scene that you loved, Jen?
So then she starts to run away and the lock gets caught and it's kind of pulling her back.
I didn't know
so
that it got caught. I thought like the ghost pulled it off of her or something.
Happening.
Oh, okay,
okay. And then it ends up hanging on like a banister down. And she says, she uses the mother to kill the children. So now we've cracked the code.
And this is sort of when everyone leaves, right? This is when they pack up and go to the motel, right?
Kind of. Well, first she runs out to the dock and she sees her daughter under the water.
And she's like, holy shit, I forgot I had a daughter.
Right, exactly.
I should call and check on her for the first time since the first 10 minutes of the movie.
And so she panic calls her mom. Is like, go check my daughter, go check my daughter.
She puts her arm, because the locket's glowing in the water. She puts her arm in and the daughter, the whole thing disappears.
Yeah, because it was.
And that's when she goes and calls the grandma.
With two rotations of a rotary phone, she dials that whole phone number. That bothered me. She only does two numbers. If she was really stressed dialing a phone, it'd be like.
That's how it works.
7 times, and then she'd be like, "Put my daughter on the phone."
The number you just dialed was 333-333-3333.
Or was it 666?
What?
666-666.
I'm out.
It's a movie, so it's 555-555.
Okay. So then this is when the family investigators go to the hole and they're like, we are out.
This is when they nope out of the house and leave. Yeah. And so the scam artists go right to the Catholic Church and are like, hey, we need to do this exorcist on the house.
Watch this footage.
And we see the pictures and we see the daughter being led up the stairs and the ghost hand on her. And then we see Pilgrim Boy right behind, kind of pushing her up the stairs.
So the priest is like, we have to actually talk to Vatican about this because we can't do anything without their authority.
So then we see daughter Judy and she's asleep in the house and she wakes up because of thunder. And then she's wandering down the aggressively wallpapered hallway that also matches her nightgown.
Yes. Judy, the Lorraine's daughter, not the haunted couple.
Because we don't know any of their names, I don't think. So then we see that the Museum of Haunted Things is open despite like 7 locks on the door. And so she kind of wanders in and we also see that Annabelle's cage is open.
At this point, this is her fault. She was told not to go in that room.
She was. Yeah.
Then she goes in.
She goes in and she sees a woman holding Annabelle in a rocking chair.
But this isn't in the museum room. Yeah, runs like to the office across the hall.
She
runs
out and she's hiding in a room and she sees a rocking chair in the corner and a woman, which I think is
because,
the witch.
Well, first
I think
it's the witch too. The door slams on her and she can't get out. She's screaming, Grandma, Grandma, wake up. And then she turns around.
And the witch is holding Annabelle, brushing her hair. And then Annabelle turns her head to look and she's just creepy.
In the world's worst ventriloquist act.
And so she's trying to get out. And this is right when Ed and Lorraine are driving up to save the day because the grandmother has now woken up but can't get into the room because the door has been evil locked. And so the Warrens come in and can somehow open the door right when the rocking chair flings itself at the door and Ed grabs her out of the way and saves the day.
And the rocking chair shatters against the wall where the daughter was standing.
He says, it's Annabelle, she's out. And then he goes back into the Museum of Evil Things and finds her back in her cage now.
Yeah.
So everything is safe and it's fine. I can't remember exactly how this goes down, but we hear that the mom from the house, Lily, has driven away with the two youngest girls.
They get a phone call right after the chair explodes.
Yes, they do. Because the dad, I think, has gotten to the hotel. Anyways, so the mom is driving back to the house with the two youngest daughters and she is just possessed as fuck.
Yeah, they're like, where are you taking us, mom? And she's like,
right. And so everybody ends up back at this house and the mom is in the basement with these scissors trying to stab her daughter with the dad trying to kind of hold her back. And that's when the Warrens show up.
The Warrens show up and the cop and the assistant.
Yes, everybody shows up. Everybody's trying to keep her from killing her kids. Lorraine doesn't want to go, and this is when they have their kind of romantic moment. They say, God wanted us to do this. We got to finish it together. Okay, so then the cop shows up and shoots the door open because apparently the doorknob's not working.
He pulls out his shotgun. He's like, this is how cops do it.
It's like evil.
Boom,
lock.
I don't need a warrant.
This is how you break a ghost lock.
Yeah. I didn't grow this mustache for nothing. And then he shoots the door open. And that's when they see her, and they're all trying to keep her from stabbing her daughter. And this is when they try to take her to the car, and they try to pull her out of the door, and her skin kind of starts melting like a vampire if you put them into
the sun.
But she
wasn't in the sun, right? It was still at night, right?
It was just like the threshold of the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just the threshold of the house.
The boundary.
And Lorraine, of course, uses her psychic power, and she's like, the witch is going to kill her if we try to get her to leave the house.
Yeah. It seemed that way, for sure.
We need to do the exorcism on the house now.
Yes.
So now they drag her down into the basement, and they're fighting with her in the basement. And
she's like floating around being knocked into shit. It was hilariously strange.
Oh, she gets dragged down into the basement by the ghost.
Which we've seen the ghost drag around a daughter before, so that's not a new thing.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about
when. Yeah, a lot of shit happened that we skipped over, but that's fine.
Because there's just so much.
Yeah.
And this is when she tries to bite the mustache off the cop's face.
She does.
She misses. And gets his cheek. Because it's just so crazy.
Yeah. You can't bite off a whole mustache.
She's always been a cheeky lady.
Oh, no. Nailed it.
And so then Lorraine comes up with the sheet and gets her that way. And then they end up tying her with a sheet over her head.
And then cuffing her to the chair. And then there's rope around her waist and legs, I think.
If you're going to deal with a ghost, you might as well have them dress the part.
That's true, but they forgot to cut the eye holes.
They're not going to a rally, Jen. Oh, you mean like a cheap
like
ghost
a cheap
costume?
Ghost.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about something else.
A lot of stuff happens. They end up doing the exorcism.
This house is cool.
Yeah, well, they go back and forth about it.
We're finishing it together. Yeah. God wanted us to do this.
This is why God made us get married.
Yeah, it's not.
Wow.
Hot takes from Jen.
They're a good couple.
So they do the exorcism.
Yes, they start the exorcism. Everywhere.
At this point, it stops being super scary for me.
Because it's crazy and you can see everything.
Exactly. Because I can see the witch on the screen. I know where she is.
Yeah.
It's still creepy because there's one light bulb in the basement and it's swinging so the shadows are neat, and then she's in the chair and you see the shadows being weird, and then he's, you know, talking Latin out of his... They don't call it a Bible. They just say, go get the book, which is weird.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have the rights to the Bible.
I believe it's pronounced the Bibble.
It's like the big game, you know, instead of the Super Bowl. Well, so while this whole thing is happening, the older daughter that's with them is in the car.
The young daughter.
And the young daughter is missing somewhere in the house.
And it's the middle daughter in the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one the not quite as young daughter. And the other one is somewhere in the house, and the assistant Drew is running around trying to find her. And the daughter is in the car, and the birds start flying into the
car. This is where
it
gets real Alfred Hitchcocky. Yeah.
It really does, yeah.
Because birds start slamming into the house, slamming through the windows in the basement, and hitting them, or like hitting just random things in the basement.
You yell ghost birds a couple
ghost
of times.
Ghost birds! Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so they're having the sheet exorcism, and then we see, we imagine that she's coughed up blood because we just see blood all of a sudden where her mouth or her face is.
Well, yeah, and the scam artist dad is like, or what's his name, Patrick, whatever.
The power of Christ compelling.
Yeah, he's doing the whole exorcism thing.
He's like flinging holy water and stuff.
I can demand you to show yourself all the angels and blah, blah, blah.
And the sheet rips. You see the witch's face underneath.
And the chair starts to levitate, too.
Yeah.
And then flips up and the chair is on the ceiling. And they're saying, let her go. Drop her. And I was like, don't drop her. If you drop her right on her head, she's going to die.
Well, it drops her, but it drops her on the back. And then it breaks the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so then...
So Ron Livingston is trying to get control of his wife.
Yeah. And she looks at him and she says, she's already gone.
The wife does.
And you're all going to die. Yes. And it's the witch talking
The sheet's all the way off. She's got a creepy face with the yellow
eyes.
This
is when it looks sort of like The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Like an older lady exorcist. Yeah.
Because she still looks just a little bit like the actress, but also the witch, and it's kind of going back and forth in the face.
The makeup doesn't look that great, and she's like,
I don't think so.
Your wife's gone. All your family's going to die.
Okay, so then they finally find Rose, who's the youngest daughter, and I don't know why.
Yeah, they find her under the floor of the kitchen.
Under the house.
The assistant hears her voice under the floor, and he grabs a crowbar to start breaking the boards open on the kitchen floor.
And so this is when the mom, who is possessed possessed, figures out where she is. She grabs the scissors. She scoots over and she gets the daughter into a place where nobody can get to her. And she's about to stab the daughter with the scissors.
Yeah, she crawls through a hole in the crawl space where the bigger people can't chase her.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then like finds the daughter who's also hiding in the crawl space.
So, but like Ron Livingston goes to one side, the other Patrick, whatever his name is in the movie, goes to the other side. The scam artist guy, Ed, goes to the other side. And then the wife scam artist goes to the kitchen where the hole was dug. And she's like reaching down. So they're like all on either side and above her. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you got to fight it from within.
There's three cuts. It cuts to scam artist's husband. And he is doing his exorcism still, yelling really passionately. And then it cuts to Lorraine, who's like holding her head. She's like, you got to fight it from within.
She's talking about the beach picture.
Right, right. Yeah. And then it cuts to the, and she's like, help him, help her fight it from within. It cuts to Lauren Livingston. He's like, yeah, girl, just like, you need to fight it. He really doesn't sell this scene
don't
at all.
It'd
be like super great if you didn't kill our daughter, man.
Yeah, he's like, we got four others, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah, but it's like,
it'd be
I don't
better
know.
For us if you didn't do it.
Listen, I got a lot of money for this movie, so if you have to kill her, feel free, but I'd rather you didn't.
I'm definitely rotary phoning it in.
Yeah, 100%.
And so she fights from within, and then she pukes up.
She throws up the
demon.
Ghost witch.
Yeah, and I think it's the power of that beach picture that really saves the day, you know?
So really, they didn't need holy water, they just need Epigac.
Anything to make her vomit.
Yeah. And beach picture love. So then all is happy, and youngest daughter gives her back her locket, and then they bring the music back to their museum, and
the music box. They bring the music box back to their museum.
They set it down.
And then the last thing they talk about is they just got a call for a house on Long Island, which is the Amityville house.
So is that the sequel they were going to try to set up, but then just didn't go for?
No, I don't think
isn't there a Conjuring 2?
There is, but it takes place in jolly old England.
But the beginning of it is in the Amityville house.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I don't think they were ever going to do an entire movie about the Amityville house.
Yeah, who would do that?
Because that's just...
A lot of people have done that.
Yeah, it's the Amityville horror.
Yeah, and it's a scam.
Yes.
Is that the end of the movie, though?
Yeah.
So that's the movie.
And then we see like credits with the real people, which I always think is interesting because we get to see the pictures of the actual people.
Yeah, we get to see the family. And the scam artist that kind of got together to scam everybody.
And because what? Well, that's Todd's theory, which may or may not be true, because the whole time we've been saying this is not real, but this is based on a true story. Whether you believe this haunting is real.
This is based on a true family.
Is that exactly? This family really exists. This case really exists. Whether you believe the haunting is real is your decision to make. Yeah. But these events, some of them actually happened. These are real people.
So do you want to do box office first?
Yeah, go for box office.
All right, so let's talk about box office. So this movie
it really did.
Oh, it really did, Mikey.
Didn't cost
I bet it was
much.
Like a $20 million movie.
Dude, $20 million was the production budget. You crushed it. It made, domestically, it was $137 million. Overseas, $182 million. So
dang.
It's $319 million.
Boom!
This made a lot of money. And I'll say this. Hated this movie. I'll never watch this movie again. But it is good. It holds up. Like, it is scary. Mm-hmm. The story's good. Like, I hated it. I'll never watch it again. But
it's
it
Todd
is,
Kryptonite movie.
Yep. F this movie in the A. I hated this.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Three spin-offs.
Oh,
a whole series of movies.
Universe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I'll never watch it again. I swear to Pazuzu himself, I'll never watch this movie again.
I've only seen this movie once because it was scary when I watched it.
Yeah, I remember. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I remember being really scared.
I definitely classified it as a movie I don't watch without other people.
Yeah. So it did very, very, very well. The first weekend it came out, it was number one. Yeah, so it beat out Despicable Me.
And it was released in July, so which is like blockbuster territory.
It was up against some pretty solid movies when it came out.
And if you think about it, because 2013 was that 6 years ago. How many sequels and spinoffs this movie has spawned?
About one a year. I'm not sure they all came out year after year, but about one a year since then. So let's talk fun facts.
Well, and one of the reasons we chose this movie for Women in Horror Month too is that I love that there are two really strong female characters in this movie.
Oh yeah, the woman is a scam artist, and then the wife of the Ron Livingston is, and they're both great in this movie.
They really are. Yeah, and they both have a lot of agency. They're both central to the plot, and this does pass the Bechdel test. Okay, so fun facts.
Jen's fun facts.
Okay, so this movie was rated R, and there's really no nudity, there's no sex, there's no anything. And the reason that it was rated R, the quote they got back was, it's just so scary, it's rated R, which doesn't happen that often.
Because yeah, because there's no gore except for the vomit.
It's really not even that violent.
And no one cusses.
And so what they got back was, it's just so scary, very, and there's really no editing you could do that would give you a PG-13 rating for this.
They really got screwed because they could have made more money with a PG-13 rating.
I honestly think right now this would be a PG-13 movie.
Okay, so another fun fact. This movie got sued by the current people that live in this house because it's a real house, and their home was getting vandalized after this movie came out and people kept trying to break in the house. The movie also got sued by somebody who said he had bought the rights to the Warrens' stories. I'm not 100% sure how that lawsuit worked out, but there's interesting things online. The Warrens appeared in the first episode of The Challenge on MTV, which was then called Road Rules All-Stars.
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
What?
I know. I loved that show, and then I kind of grew out of it.
What?
Yeah. They
you ever watched that?
No.
They challenged the Real World team to spend the night in a haunted house. No, a haunted mental hospital.
What?
And they were like the two that introduced the challenge.
Hell no, man.
So this is based on a true story, and there are no rules for what you have to use in a story to claim that. So this could be all a bunch of nonsense, and they use the names of characters and still say it's based on a true story. They claim to have investigated over 10,000 cases.
That sounds like an exaggeration.
Well,
they're scam artists, Mikey.
10,000 is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It is a lot. Yeah. Well, and so a lot of the cases have already been movies. There's a sequel coming out, The Conjuring 3, which is based on, I think, the Snedeker house.
Oh, I'm excited. I like that. I'm excited about it.
Okay. So they may be scam artists, and you can choose to believe them or not. A lot of the research I got was about them being debunked.
Yeah.
But they didn't charge any money from the people whose houses they investigated.
That's good, Todd.
All of their money they made from publishing. I think they published like 9 books, yeah, and they did a bunch of lecture series. So, I mean, they're not scamming families directly.
I will say this. If you guys don't know anything about the magician James Randi, he held a $1 million challenge to prove that paranormal is real. And anyone who tried to prove that paranormal was real failed this challenge. And he debunked a shitload of people. There's a whole documentary on Netflix about it. Yeah, I love that.
The Warrens awesome. Aren't in it, though.
No, because they would. There's no way they would go on that because it would prove their whole thing is a sham.
Which makes them smarter than the average scam artist because he got tons of people debunked.
He got tons of people. It's a great doc, though. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry, but it's great.
This is an interesting fun fact. Okay, so when they were writing this, they talked to Lorraine Warren, and she was very involved in the making of this movie. She's got a cameo in the movie. The actors that play Ed and Lorraine Warren went and spent a lot of time with her, and she made them sign clauses that they would not show the Warrens in the movie doing any kind of like drinking or drug use or saying anything bad and just presenting them in a really good light, and that they would specifically not say anything about either of them having an affair in the movie.
Did they have an affair in real life with ghosts?
So,
ghost affair.
Before they became ghost hunters, Ed was a bus driver. And he met a student named Penny on his bus who was 15. That was 15. Now, I'm saying all this is alleged.
We almost made it a whole episode, Todd.
Oh, my God. Why does it always come back to sexual assault?
When they first met, she was 15. I don't know about any kind of timelines. But apparently, they had a romantic relationship. She moved into their house. They carried this relationship on for decades. And she lived in a bedroom across the hall from them.
I don't know if this helps, but was it a city bus or a school bus?
I think it was. I mean, it doesn't say.
It doesn't matter. She was 15.
True. Apparently, she got pregnant and they.
Ghost baby.
The power to. Okay.
Ghost and babe.
And they convinced her to have an abortion. And they wanted her to say that she was raped, and that's how she got pregnant.
She
claimed that Ed was abusive.
Oh my God.
To her and Lorraine.
Oh my God.
And yeah, that, and then Lorraine made her sign a contract. I don't know if any of that is true. You can leave that in or not.
I mean, if we just say it's alleged, I think it's fine.
It is alleged. Yeah. And the only reason I say it is because in the movie, they just seem like such a happy couple. Yeah. And that's specifically because she made them sign a contract that's how they would present them.
What
in
if
the movie.
That's why all the ghosts haunt them is because
of karma?
Well, yeah.
Maybe it's the ghost of all his terrible doings?
No, I mean, really, he's just a bad dude scam artist who talked his wife into being a scam artist with him, and then they scammed a bunch of people because they're scam artists.
Yeah, they're lying liars who lie. So yeah. Maybe they lie about other things.
Exactly.
And you know what? I don't know if they're scam artists or not. That's all alleged, too. I keep pointing at the TV. I do really like them in the movie. I like both of the characters. I like both the actors. I'm just not sure how representative that is of who they actually are.
I do feel like these movies would work better when they're not based on true stories, because I would like like Poltergeist, for instance, I think works a lot better as a film because it's a fake family with a fake house and a fake story and a fake psychic. And in the movie, it doesn't ruin my disbelief because you don't go out and Google them and find out that they, you know, like raped a girl on a school bus or whatever. And I feel like that keeps me in the movie better. And now I'm going to watch the third one, and then that's all I'm going
to
think about.
And I think that part of the reason their relationship is important to the movie is because it's a grounding thing. And there's so much of this movie that's really creepy, and a lot of this movie is about a family falling apart. So I think when you have this relationship that seems really solid in the movie, it kind of helps you when you're super terrified. So those are my fun facts. Yeah, some of them were less fun than others.
Let's do scary scale.
Scary scale.
So Jen, what is the scary scale?
Listeners, our scary scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched this movie. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's a ranking of how scared we were when we watched it today. Todd, what you got?
I would give it an 8.
An 8?
Yes.
Nice. That's the highest you've had in a while.
It is the highest I've had in a while. The movie is very scary. It is very spooky and it's very creepy. And I hate jump scares. And this had a lot of really effective and horrible, horrible jump scares. Yeah. I hated it. I hated this movie. I'll never watch it again. Everyone, when they ask me what movie I was watching, has been, oh, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes.
You guys are jerks.
Were you guys as screwed as they said you were?
I think so. Yeah, I hated this movie.
I think you took it like a champ.
Yeah, did it well. We kept asking if you wanted to.
You didn't even take a break,
off.
And you've taken breaks in scary movies before.
Yeah.
Mikey, what do you think so?
I'm going to give it a 7. I mean, I feel like Jen and I'm not going to speak for your scary scale, Jen. I would not speak for you. But we did the jump scares. We still jumped. We still screamed. And it was still scary.
Yeah, because there are so many of them. You just can't remember all of them. You know, unless you've seen this movie over and over and over and over.
I remember
again,
like the big scenes, but I forgot that there's one every like 2 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it an 8 too. Yeah, it is scary. It backs it up. I think it's creepy enough. Now, I'm not going to be afraid to go to sleep tonight. Like, I mean, it's not going to
scare
me. I don't think there's anything underlying that makes me think more about anything outside of this movie. Like, Hereditary messed with me for weeks because I was thinking about the family dynamic and I was thinking about how like emotional it was on top of it being super scary. But this movie was just really scary, and now I'm going to walk away from it. It doesn't like linger.
I'm with you. I'm done, and I'm like, okay, that was fun.
Yeah, there's.
Bye.
Yeah.
So, hey, what movie are we doing next?
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, this is one of my top 5 movies that we're going to do next.
Really?
Yes, it is. We're going to do the original Fright Night.
I love this movie, too.
I do, too. I'm really excited. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I like the remake, too.
I love the remake.
But since Anton, what's his face, died, I haven't been able to watch this.
But we're not watching the remake.
We're not watching the remake. We're watching the original. Yes.
That's important. People care about that kind of stuff. So, it's the last episode of the month, so we are going to do our Patreon shout-outs for the monthly Patreon shout-outs, guys. And there really are just 3.
Maybe why don't we each say one?
Yeah.
We got Daniel Y. Daniel Y.
Yeah, I remember that one. Eddie S. Yep. And who?
And Melissa K.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for being our
You Can Get It Patreon supporters. We really, really, really appreciate it. You guys really make this podcast run, and we appreciate it.
You truly can get it.
It is not just a clever name. So, guys, if you want to make sure you're in on your weekly or monthly shout-outs or any of the other great Patreon stuff that we have, go to patreon.com/horrorvirgin to sign up there.
We also just wrapped up our Patreon listener request episode contest for March. So be looking for that. We do stuff like that every month.
Yeah. So, guys, we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. Make sure you check us out there. And if you are listening to us in the Modern Horrors feed, make sure you subscribe to our feed because you'll get it 2 days earlier on Monday and not have to wait till Wednesday to listen to the podcast. If you want to follow us online, we are at Horror Virgin on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Oh, and we just started a Facebook group.
We did.
Check out the Facebook group. It's awesome. It's only been live for 24 hours, and we have 51 or 52 members. It's awesome. If you want to follow me specifically, it's at Todd J. Awesome on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mikey is M. Randolph 24 on Instagram and Twitter, right?
Now it's at Dick O'Clock.
At Dick O'Clock.
Oh, jeez. Don't follow that hashtag.
I wonder if that's a hashtag. So follow Mikey there. And Jen is at Jen Ferratu on Facebook. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes.
Go to the website at horrorvirgin.com. You can see the links to our merch, all that great stuff. We actually got two photos this week of different mugs, which I thought was cool. Yeah,
the Final Girls mug.
Yeah, the Final Girl mug that we have, and also actually got three pictures then, because we had one from our wrestler friend Robbie, who has this regular Horror Virgin mug that he won, and then we had two of the Final Girl mugs that we have.
Those are always fun. And if you guys want to email us, email us at info@horrorvirgin.com.
Yep. I also wanted to start reading some 5-star reviews, because we're getting a lot of 5-star reviews, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
So we want to shout out some love at those 5-star reviews. So the 5-star review I'm going to read.
And while you're looking for that, let me say, if you cannot support the podcast through Patreon, we completely understand that. Just leaving us a review, honestly, just telling people about the podcast is a huge help to us, and that's a great way for you to support us.
Absolutely. And you guys are clearly telling people about the podcast, because we've been growing a lot. So, this one is from Drew Sum of All Fear Pod.
Ooh, and let me say, I've been listening to that podcast. It's called The Sum of All Fear, and it's cool. You should check
it
out.
Jen, you listen to so many podcasts. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you listen to a lot. Anyway, his 5-star review is, have a few horror virgins in my life, and I wish I had been smart enough to come up with this podcast idea. So fun. Listen and enjoy. So thank you very much, Drew. Sum of All Fear Pod. We appreciate your 5-star review. And guys, leave us 5-star reviews. You might have yours read out and a little love sent your way
it
on our pod.
You.
Yeah, it could be you guys. All right. Make sure you watch Fright Night, the old one, before next week, because that'll be the next one to come out.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye. Nerds.